there's so much to be happy about, and there's so many people to inspire and to give back to. And I feel like I just really am really trying to find more of my purpose in that, especially, you know, with everything I do in my current business, like with the app and all of these things. Like, we really try and make our business for other people. Like, how can we make their lives better, make their lives easier? Like, what's our, you know, driving purpose? Because otherwise, it's just a bunch of stuff.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast, hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek. Almost 30 started as a conversation about the transition from our 20s to our 30s. But then we realized life is full of transitions. So we expanded our mission.
We are an intuition-led, wellness-focused lifestyle podcast that promises to deliver authentic conversations, diverse points of view, and insights rooted in optimism, growth, and intention. The Almost 30 Nation community is a group of purposeful dreamers who are smart, passionate, and always seeking the full potential in every aspect of their lives.
At Almost 30, we're making magic together. We dream it,
and then we do it.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 podcast.
Here we go. Welcome back to the pod, y'all.
Welcome back to Almost 30 podcast. I hope you're having a great day today. Let's take a breath.
It's weird that I've been able to notice my breath more while here in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's now that it's a part of my life, I really notice it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I like it, yeah. Obviously, but because it's so like chaotic and loud sometimes, you would think that I'd be holding my breath, but I don't know.
Really digging in.
I'm really digging into it.
Yeah. I was telling you about that soul cycle class I was in with the instructor, and she was so hot. She was breathing. It was like,
yeah.
I was like, wow, how are men in this class taking this? Or how are men or women that like, well, women? Because I was into that woman.
It was.
She was like, let's all take a breath. I was like, oh. Literally, I was like,
why am I feeling this way?
Honestly. She was like whipping her hair around. I was like,
I mean.
But it made class fun.
Yeah. She's one of the sexiest of all time.
Beyond. Beyond.
I took...
I appreciate a girl that's got it.
Yeah, and owns it. I took Forward Space, mm-hmm, with Rachel, and who you know formerly from Soul, but damn, dancing in a club. I forgot how fun that was. Like, yeah. It was like dancing in a club. And it was so inclusive in the sense like everyone was different levels, like, it was so much fun. You never felt like, uh-oh, I can't do this, or all the good people are up front. It was so like mixed in that way. And the sound system
was insane.
I've never heard anything like it. Wow. Like, they've done something different there and I don't know what it is, but it was so much fun. If you're in New York, Forward Space, like if you want to just fucking rip it at the club, it was so fun.
Yeah. She's powerful.
She's so
Rachel's powerful.
Powerful.
When I first met her, I was like, wow, you're captivatingly powerful.
Yeah.
But in a really warm way,
mm-hmm,
which is special.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, at this time we're recording, we're in New York.
Yes.
We've been on tour. So we have, I've been in New York for about a week, a little over a week now. We're going to be here for about 2 weeks. And we had our live show with Heather McMahon. We had our show at the Assemblage with Aaron Clare on human design. And then we had our show with Stuart Pierce on voice alchemy, which was awesome. And we've been doing tons of interviews while here, including the one with Tezza that we have today,
yeah,
which have been insane.
Couldn't wait to put it out.
I know.
She was incredible. And, you know, I know you've known of her for yeah, quite
like,
some time.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind.
Known of her.
Virtual, no.
And admired her for a long time. But I had, you know, just in the last year, like really seen her work and her evolution, kind of went back and creeped on it. And holy mother. Like, I so admire someone who is, they just like bow down to their own creativity that's running through them. Like, they just get out of the fucking way and she just like rolls. It's so cool. And she's fucking cool in person. Like,
she's an icon.
Just so nice, funny, no, like low maintenance, y'all.
Low maintenance.
Chill.
Huh. Dressed to the nines. Dressed to the nines perfection. Wearing this, of course, so very Tessa, wearing the perfect outfit with the perfect Prada bag.
Perfect.
Looking like a runway model. Just like, yeah, she's amazing. And I have followed her since Aubrey, our dear friend Aubrey Winters, who you can follow on Instagram. She's an icon as well. Mm-hmm. She introduced me to Tessa maybe 2 years ago. And I've seen her journey just from that point and then going back. And what is very special about her is that she is a leader. She's doing what everyone is starting to do now. She's like started the trend of so many things on Instagram, and she's really followed her, like anything that any voice that she's heard to create, to help people. So through her book, she gives everyone every tip you would ever need. It's called Insta Style, to create the posts that she does, staging, lighting, posing, filters, all of that. And then she even created the Tessa app to give people the filters and the ability to adjust your photos like she does, because that was one of her main selling points, was her ability to filter and edit her photos in such a crazy way. So it's like, and that's what I've really actually am coming around to see in the space that we're in and with the people that we interview, is that the people that I admire share all of their secrets, because they know that it's really them that is the differentiating factor and not the actual secret. So if it's like Jenna Kutcher gives everything away pretty much about what she does, how she created her business, how she's done everything. And it's really her that's the differentiator. So people will have all of these things, but they're never going to be her. Same with Tessa. They can have all these things, but they're never going to be her. And that's been really inspiring to me, because you think, it's, you know, it goes with the collaboration is over competition, definitely, but it just speaks more to the power of people's uniqueness, you know, as what is so captivating.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to, like, there's something about the energy of coming from a lack or fear mentality that someone's going to take it and do it better and step on you and keep on going up, whatever, rather than what she does and Jenna Kutcher does, is really help and empower others to do something with that in that same space, not fearful that they'll do it better. You know, like, I think more opportunities come to them because they are not operating from that place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. So during Tessa's interview, we got really deep. You know, we talked about some things that are very special to her as it relates to her family, which you guys will hear. I was crying. I feel so lucky and I feel so excited for you guys to listen, because you see this person online, so beautiful, so talented. Her husband Cole is a doll, gorgeous
baby doll
with great style, who's super smart and amazing, who works with her on the Tessa app. But you see this person, and I didn't really know much about her personally. So I feel really lucky that we got to sit in on this conversation with her and then bring, you know, this softer, or not this softer side, but just this side of her that you guys may not know.
Sure. Yeah. It was really, really powerful. And I'm glad she felt
same.
That, you know what
goodness
I mean?
Gracious.
Like, not to pat us on the back at all. It's more just like, it's really, really nice when we can create that space.
So you can find Tessa on Instagram at Tezza. She is a photographer, musician, creative director. She is the founder of By Tessa. So they make cute, cute, cute sunglasses, which are amazing. She's in a band. She's a singer, musician, the Bandeau, and she wrote Insta Style. And she also created the Tessa app, which has over 1 million people that use it every month, which is insane. Our entire team uses it. Every creative that I know uses it. What I really like about the Tessa app is the ability to edit video. So I actually never found something that allowed me to put filters on video that I liked, or change and edit and sharpen, increase detail on videos. So if you guys are a creative or not, the Tessa app is an amazing tool to make your videos and photos that much better.
Yeah. Chloe and her team is number one fan.
Yeah.
She freaked out when she met Tessa. And we also wanted to shout out Tommy Fake Tommy Kramer on Instagram. Give him a follow, y'all. But he came on tour on part of this leg with us, and we're just so grateful. He's so easy to work with and fun to be
so
around.
So fun.
Funny, and just, I mean, he's with a crew of gals like running around, you know, being loony, and he's such an even person within it all. And I just
love
so
that
grateful.
We can fuck with them. I love that we can fuck with them.
Totally. And he gives it right back.
Gives it right back. So we got a beautiful apartment by Sonder. So we've been staying with Sonder all over the country on tour. It's, they take luxury apartment buildings and they make them Airbnbs. So it's the shit. You can use code almost 30. But anyway, so we've been staying in one. We have all these beautiful rooms. All the girls are in the room because we have a big team. And then Tommy got the pullout because, you know, guys. And we were like, Tommy, like, are you going to, you know, maybe next time in a year, we'll be able to get you your own room. And he's like, man, I'm going to miss the good old days on the couch. It's just like, he just rolled with everything. Like,
he let us like go on his dating app for him.
Yeah. We went on,
which is nice.
Bumble.
Yeah. It was Bumble.
We swiped
great,
for him.
Great profile. We approved of his profile.
It was a great profile.
Yeah. And, we were swiping for him a little bit. It was sweet.
His profile was like the only, like, breaker is like, you have to be over 211.
LOL.
Yeah. So he's funny. Like, photographer needs to be over 211 for me to consider you. So cute. His photos were all like blurry with him, his guy friends. It was like him and 20 guy friends. You didn't even know which one was him. It was beautiful.
He's like, but this one shows my smile. Like when I'm happy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God.
He's
it.
Like, that's when like the Cubs won the pennant or
yeah,
something.
He's like, that's the happiest moment of my life. Why wouldn't I put that up? I was like,
totally.
You're right.
Totally.
You're right. Tea creamy. Yeah, he's the best. So at Fake Tommy Kramer, his work is really, really good and special to us. You know, he gets it. He totally gets it. All right. This episode is special. We appreciate you listening. If this resonates with you, share it with someone else who you think it would resonate with. If you share on social media, we always appreciate it. We'll share it on our end. And thank you for rating and reviewing. We love you so much.
Yeah, we love you so much. We'll read a review of the week on the end. And just so you know, we have our last tour dates coming up. We're in Australia in November. If you're in LA, November 9th, Jenna Zoe, our human design reader, is going to be coming in for a human design workshop. It's a long workshop at Calamigos Ranch in Malibu, which is our favorite place. And then we have our live show.
Can't wait. December 7th. That is happening at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater at the Hayworth in LA. We are so excited about that. Tickets are on sale now. Go to almost30podcast.com/tour. We cannot wait to see you. And also we'll be in Miami as well in December. So, you know, we're still working, y'all, till the end of the year.
Still on the road.
All right. We love you. Enjoy this one. I don't know about you, but finding hair care that has clean ingredients and actually works is really, really hard, but I found it for us. Yay. Vegamore, baby. They are made with clean ingredients and have given me visibly healthier hair and scalp. And I'm really, really excited to talk to you about it. So basically I've seen my hair get visibly thicker, fuller, shinier, longer, especially in this postpartum period. I mean, I am just trudging uphill when it comes to looking and feeling good, and I am doing my absolute best, and this has really helped my hair. I love Vegamore also because they're cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. I got to be paying attention to that. So do you. What's even better is Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essentials kit. So that's the one that I use. I recommend to you, where you get to try more than one amazing product at a great savings when you sign up for a monthly subscription. So you save more and you never run low on products that you need to take care of your hair. I love this Grow kit. So I love the Grow Full Routine kit. So a start to finish hair wellness ritual for you. You are going to love it. Okay, so what is in it? It has the Grow Scalp Detoxifying Serum. So I'm obsessed with this. I basically use this weekly or so, maybe 1 to 2 times a week. It removes buildup on the scalp. And then I love the Grow Revitalizing Shampoo. Let me just tell you how unbelievable these
this shampoo and conditioner smell. Again, no harsh chemicals or anything like that, but the smell is just freaking divine. You lather it on your wet hair, leave in for like a minute, and then I do the Grow Revitalizing Conditioner on my damp hair, scalp the ends, massage it in. I just like really take my time. It's like a spa in there. And then I wash my hair like that probably twice a week, and on non-wash days, I use Grow Dry Shampoo to absorb excess oil, which I absolutely love. And then finally, the Grow Hair Serum. I've just put it all over my scalp. I massage it in. Just do me nice. It's awesome. And then I do not rinse that out, by the way. Okay, babies. Lastly, take one of the Grow Biotin gummies for hair per day. I love it. Again, I've noticed my hair has just grown like a freaking weed. So this is the Grow Full Routine Kit, but they have different kits and products for hair, lashes, brows. It's amazing. Check it out. Vegamore, baby. You've heard about them, but I'm telling you, I stand by it. I love these products. Be sure to be consistent in your routine for your most beautiful, healthy looking hair. Okay, elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/almost30 and use the code almost30 at checkout. That's vegamour.com/almost30. Code almost30 to save 20% off your first order. Vegamore.com, vegamour.com/almost30. The code is almost30. I am juggling quite a bit lately. I have a new baby, 6 months in, and we are finishing our book and running a business and a marriage and a house. And it's just a lot, but everything is all good and just my dream, but it's a lot. But I have found that if my health routine is on point, then everything runs smoothly. And one huge piece of that routine is my supplementation. And Symbiotica has just always been a constant in my routine. If you haven't heard of Symbiotica, they are a health and wellness company that does everything with intention. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know them. Sherveen has been on the podcast many times. I just have seen how passionate, how incredibly intelligent, how dedicated he is to creating products that are clean, plant-based, without toxic or harmful chemicals, which we need more of that in the world. So let me just run you through what I'm taking. I take the vitamin D3 K2. It's the liposomal form. I just squirt 12 little pumps in my mouth every single morning. I also take their B12. I'm also obsessed with the liposomal vitamin C. I have these little packets. Whether it's winter or whatever season, it's obviously great for immunity, but it also is amazing because it has biotin, one of nature's most beautifying ingredients. So I've seen an improvement in my skin, hair, and nail growth as well. I do have mom brain, but I'm doing my best to just support my brain health in any way. So for brain health, focus, and memory, I really love taking their liposomal magnesium L-threonate. It's an innovative form of magnesium that is able to cross the blood-brain barrier. It supports brain health, mood, immune system function, and overall well-being. It's incredible and tastes amazing. It's like this yummy vanilla cream flavor. That's the thing with Symbiotica products. They taste unbelievable. So it really makes taking all of these supplements so easy, so yummy, and I actually look forward to it. So if you want to give Symbiotica a try, there is no better time. Right now is the time. Symbiotica.com, Cymbiotika. Use our code almost30, 20% off site-wide. So major. And then when you bundle and subscribe, which I highly recommend because you never want to run out of anything, you're going to get an extra discount. So just do it up. Symbiotica.com and use the code almost30 for 20% off site-wide.
You grew up in Utah.
Yeah.
There's like an interesting creative...
I know.
What is the deal?
I don't know, other than I would say, like, I think because it's kind of more religious of right? a state,
yeah, yeah.
I think that people, like, because they don't go out and party as much, people are like, you know, you grow up, everyone's kind of music oriented, like, and there's a big art scene.
Right.
Like, it just kind of exists. So. Mm-hmm.
That is so true. Actually, because I was wondering about that, like, when you grew up in Utah, I was like, what was your relationship with the religious community, the LDS community, or being in that space, because we have friends that are part of it and we have friends that weren't, that grew up there. And it's such an interesting it's such an interesting place to grow up. Like, it's safe, it's beautiful, everyone's nice. But I think that's such a good way to put it, that if I wasn't like drinking or like doing all the dumb stuff, my creativity would have been able to like be more expressed.
Yeah. And you're like trying to find things to do. Like, I feel like, you know, on the weekend people like get together and like do interesting things. So like, I would say the culture is like definitely changing.
Yeah.
Like every time I go back, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, well, like in a good way.
Totally.
Like more diversity and things like that. And like, I don't know. I think it's like getting better, but I do think like there is something to say about that. I don't know what it would be like if I grew up somewhere else. Yeah. You know?
Totally.
What's your, like, what does your family think of everything? Like, family, friends? I think no matter where you grow up and you have accomplished what you've accomplished and in such a relatively new space of social media and just entrepreneurship in general, because not everyone has always been an entrepreneur. It's not always been the cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. So like, what do they think?
I mean, in this topic, I'm actually so, so lucky because my family is like 100% not just supportive, but like that's what we all do. Mm. So like, my mom is an interior designer and she like started her business on her own when she was like 22. She didn't even go to school for it. And now she like, you know, designs homes all over the country. She's super successful. So like, I think for me, I grew up seeing that and that was just like pretty much like all I knew, right? Yeah. Like, I
of course
remember being a kid and like started teaching art classes when I was 12 to like all the neighbors because I was just trying to find not even just a way to make money, but like figure out, you know, I don't know. I liked like being a part of like a community and starting my own business. So like that was something I love that. Just did.
Yeah. I'd be like, I want to do it because I want to be the boss. I'd be like, everyone come to my class. This is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, you should have been there. I mean, you could have taken over, girl. No. Yeah. So, and my dad was an art publisher and he also started his own business. So it's just kind of like what we do. My cousins all paint for a living. My aunt's an amazing jewelry designer. It's just like, we're all in the arts. My uncle's a lawyer and that's about it. Everyone else does something kind of like, you know.
Wow.
Self, whatever. So right. I think that like, I'm obviously, you know, have found my little niche and my family's super supportive, but I also still feel like I'm on this journey. You know, so I don't ever feel like, I don't feel like I've arrived in any way. I'm just still trying to figure it out.
That's what's so funny is in doing this podcast, we realize we have people on like you just like absolutely at beyond what anyone would ever expect as their goal to be. You know, you are beyond like in what you're doing, just like what anyone would want as their goal as far as being accomplished, but people are never there. You know, you're never like, yeah, this is it. You know, like you're never like, this feels really good. Like this is like a part of it. But through the beginning part of your journey, you know, from when you started it, what was like the doing music, doing Instagram, being digital? Did you ever have a job that was not creative, or what was your job career trajectory like?
Yeah. So I did not. I was always just really in the arts, I guess. Like I started a photography business when I was 16 and it was just, I actually didn't know much, but I loved taking pictures. And so I was trying things out and started making money and getting hired for things. So I kind of saw the potential there and that was my first job. And then I, you know, did a million other things in between, but always did that to support me. And then I did end up going to school for photography. So that obviously became a much more advanced like thing, but ever since then, that was kind of just how I learned how to run my own business, I guess I would say.
Did any one of those pull you more than the other at one point? And did you kind of have to have like a talk with yourself about what you pursue, or what was that like?
Yeah, like I think it's so interesting because I'm still kind of on that journey in a way, like I said. But, you know, when I was in high school, I remember becoming obsessed with fashion design. And like, I was a tomboy. If you ask anybody that knew me before, like I was so tall that I didn't know how to be myself. Yeah. And I really didn't I was too afraid to dress up because then I was like, people are going to notice me. I'm already like standing out, you know? And then I remember like one day I just started wearing the things I actually wanted to wear. And it was like awesome. And it was a huge shift for me. And I think a confidence like change for me that I decided, oh my gosh, like I can be me and own this and it's cool. Like I can be weird and that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of sounds like maybe cheesy or,
no,
or
not at all.
You know, I'm sure other people go through much harder things, but that was always a challenge for me and like learning to own that and be myself. If you're tall out there, wear heels, girls. It's really fun. Just own it. But yeah. And so I kind of started getting really into fashion design. And my mom, like I said, she was just this, like anything I wanted to do, she's like, let's do it. What, how do we do it? You know, what's the plan here? So, and she always was like, figure it out on your own. Like she wasn't there like doing every step of the way. She was really like, make the call, like talk to somebody. I'm like, okay. You know,
I'm 12.
Yeah. She's like, she would dial the number, hand me the phone. I'm like, no. I don't want to ask these questions. And she's like, you have to.
That was always my fear. Her.
Yeah. She's a queen. You guys need to have her.
She's
on.
A queen. Honestly.
She's hilarious.
She'll teach us everything.
Yeah. I'm still just like calling her up. Like, what do I do?
She's like, hold on. Let me connect you. This is her. She three-way someone.
Yeah. Literally. But yeah, so I was like super into fashion design and I figured that you could go to school for fashion design. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have like, I have an older brother, but he wasn't in college. So I didn't really understand the whole college thing yet.
Yeah.
And so she was like, you can move to New York and go to school right now if you want. Like I was 16, I was still in high school. I'm like, what do you mean? So I figured it out. I applied to like this Parsons program and I got in and I came and I lived here.
How old were you?
I was 16.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. And it was like,
and you lived alone?
Life-changing. Yeah, I lived just in Greenwich Village, like in the dorms.
Wow.
With some other girls. And I like learned so much. I was like, oh my gosh, I can do whatever I want. You know, like just being that independent, that young, I felt like, oh, okay. Like you can just, if you want it, you can go get it.
Right.
So that was a really big experience for me. And I did love the fashion design. I think I still definitely do, but when I came back home, I kind of started like collecting magazines and I was like, I love magazines. I want to start a magazine because I just loved how many different stories you could tell in a magazine. And I would rip out like all my favorite pictures. And then I kind of realized, oh my gosh, it's like these pictures that are really hitting me because they're telling a story about the clothes. It's not just like making the clothes, but I loved like that whole process. And I think that like that kind of still comes through in my work today just because I love the storytelling part. And so that's when I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to school for more like the photography stuff.
Wow.
But in between I was, doing
and little, like, did you know you're a supermodel? You're
oh
like,
my gosh,
you just happened to be a supermodel too.
No. You're sweet. But yeah, like, so I think I kind of like was doing the music as well, which was such a great creative outlet. And the music thing, I mean, we can get all into that if you want. There's that's like a big emotional experience that really changed my life. And I think kind of led me to where I am now. But, you know, the music industry is such a different industry, but like also the same at the same time. I think you have a lot of people trying to tell you who to be or what to do. And it's really hard to just stick to what you believe. I think like there are so many, it's kind of the same with, you know, being an influencer, I guess, like you see so many trends and you're like, do I copy that? Do I follow that? Am I off because I don't want to do that? You know, like all those type of things. But yeah, the music thing, like my sister was an incredibly talented musician. She was like, she was singing since she was born. She would walk around the house singing, sing it to people at restaurants, all of this kind of thing. And she started writing music and I was really good at playing piano and stuff. And we were like, maybe we should try writing music together. So we started this little band. It's called Sophie and Tessa. And we played, you know, all around. We did like little tours, all this stuff. It was a ball. And she was just
how did you promote
so
and like get your stuff out there?
So it was like the day and age of Facebook.
What,
like 100? I remember when Facebook came out, it was a big deal. Like it's kind of like, you know, that's why Instagram's so cool is because people have like access to so many other people so fast now. And that's kind of what, I mean, we had MySpace too. Yeah. Gosh.
Of course.
Let's take it back.
Oh my God.
No. Don't forget.
And how old were you when you were touring? Because you're,
I mean, we were
16
like,
in New York.
I was 17.
Whoa.
I had come back and we started doing this like right when I came back. And so that was kind of like, ooh, okay, this is another interesting thing that I really love. And so yeah, we did that for like a couple of years. And that's when I was trying to decide if I should come back to New York to go to school full time. But we had this music thing going and I thought, well, you know, I love it. And we had just started talking to like people in LA and all this stuff. So I was like, let's just see where this goes, you know? Mm. And not to get emotional, guys.
No. Oh, bless.
But my first year into college, my sister unexpectedly passed away.
Oh.
And it was like really just you know, life changing to have, you have your best friend and you have like a life plan at that age. It feels like everything, you know? And it was just like gone. And she was like, also,
No, don't be sorry at all.
Didn't expect this.
Oh, honey.
But I'm like a much more like moody, closed kind of person. And she was very like, just this bright light. And I felt like I had to carry on her, our dream, but really like something that she was passionate about. You know, we like, we found this list in her room after she passed away. And it was like 100 things I want to do before I die. I'm like, who even makes a list like that? Anyway, it was hilarious. And like, but had like really sweet things. Like I want to give every homeless man $100 bill, like things like this. And then like, I want to play in a stadium in front of like thousands of people and all these things. And so, you know, we, my family, we are so close and we already were before this, but it made us just really, really close. And we were able to, you know, we still do something every year off of her list and all of this, but my brothers were also incredible musicians. And I thought, well, you know, let's try playing in a band together. And so we started another band called Luna Loon, and we played in that for 6 years. And that was really, I mean, I think I learned so much through this experience. One being, you know, every single day is so important and to just live it to the fullest and really, you know, follow your dreams. And I know that sounds so cliche, but I really did learn that. And from then it was like, there was no question. I was just going to do what I wanted to do and I was going to make it happen. And like, that was something she taught me, you know? And so that the music experience really has been something it hurts me that I don't do it as much now. I definitely still play and I'm still like working on new things, but I did pass the baton off. My little brother is incredible and he's going to like, he'll be somebody someday. Trust me. He's so good. So it's really cool. And like such a fun family thing that we have that. And we've now started a foundation called Sophie's Place, which is music therapy rooms in hospitals around the country. And it's like, it's everything. So, and we, you know, with everything I do now, I definitely, we give back to that charity and really try and talk about it because I think it's such a, you know, we all love music. What would we do without it? I think it's everything. So, yeah. So that kind of was like definitely a big part of the journey. And gosh, where did I go from there? No. I'm like, I can't even.
No, but with the music thing, I know, you know, she sings and in her family, they sing too. And it's interesting because I've watched you online, obviously, and I've seen you do your music and I feel even as a viewer, an emotion behind your music that, it seemed like I just understand much more now hearing that story with your sister, that it feels such, there's such a strong pull with it that it seems like such an emotionally powerful place for you.
Yeah.
You know, to see you do it and to see when you do it. And I've always wondered if you felt like you should be doing more of that or more of this because you have so much going on. You have the app, you have, you know, all this, all parts of your business. And every time I see you play music, I'm like, I wonder if she wishes she played more.
Yeah. I mean, definitely 100%. I don't think there's any question about it. It's just hard. Like, I mean, for 6 years, I did it every single day. I was like at my peak, you know, and like, oh, we had, unfortunately, we ran into some really difficult spots where it was just like, okay, like, I don't know if this is my career choice, you know? And I never let go of like my New York City love. I couldn't get it out of my head. And I was like, I have to move back there. Like, I don't even know why. I don't even know what I'm going to do there. Mm-hmm. But like, I just knew I had to move back here. And so I kind of got to that point where, I mean, my husband, he actually was the bass player in my band.
Oh.
And we weren't dating right at the beginning, but we were really good friends. And so we kind of started like creating together actually just for fun. And I was like, well, this is awesome to have. Like, I never really had a creative partner or somebody that was down. Like, I had other boyfriends that were like, girl, you crazy? Why are you like taking all these photos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I was shooting other people and like every single day I was still shooting my own looks and stuff for no reason other than that I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, so it was really, that was like another kind of just shift for me to find like a different creative outlet, I think. And that's kind of what led us here, I guess. But yeah, like when we moved to New York, how long ago was this? Like 3.5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
We literally had zero plan. Like,
You and Cole.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Me and Cole. Yeah. My husband. But yeah, like I was like, we just have to move. We didn't have that much money. I'm like, he had a job that I was like, you got to leave it behind kind of a thing. He worked remotely, which was awesome. And they're so nice that they let him do that. That really helped us in the beginning. But I was shooting like backstage at Fashion Week. I was, you know, contacting everyone under the sun to take their photos and like shoot for campaigns and stuff like that. So, you know, I think I was still and still am. I do a lot of that as well. I don't share as much as that, but we do shoot campaigns and creative direct a ton of stuff. So that's like so fun that I still get to have that a part of my business as well.
Okay. If you listen to this episode, you've most likely heard about Human Design, but have you looked up what your human design is, and have you read about it, and have you become obsessed with it and realize that these aspects of who you are what you can lean into and leverage as your superpowers in this lifetime? If you have, or if you haven't, please keep listening because I have an incredible, incredible opportunity for you. We are partnering with Human Design Blueprint. Our friend Erin Claire Jones, the founder, was recently on the podcast. Check that episode out. We are partnering with Human Design Blueprint because we want you to get your personalized chart with an almost 30 flair. It is 55 pages all about your unique human design, delivered as a downloadable PDF in 7 days or less. This is custom made to order, and it's all just for $95, plus you'll get 10% off with our code. Stay tuned for that. But if you're not familiar with human design, let me tell you, I have learned so many things about myself, and it has helped me in my relationships, in my career, in my creativity, and now as a mother. I have learned how to best make decisions, how I create aligned opportunities, how I am uniquely designed to lead and operate, how I best process things. I was going into a part of my chart the other day. It's a channel, it's called clarity, and I am meant to wait for clarity, and it's not always, you know, an instantaneous thing. Sometimes it's a sleep on it type of thing. Sometimes it takes quite a lot of time. It is kind of an unknown, uncomfortable process for me at times, but I do know that it is coming, and it's really helped me in my relationship with Sean because sometimes he wants to know an answer like in the moment, and I'm like, babe, I need space and I need time. I know it will become clear, but we need to give me that. And it's just been so, so helpful for us. Also, part of my chart tells me I am designed to experience the full range of my emotions, baby. It's going to be up and down. I have to ride the emotional waves. I have to trust that my emotions are always moving. And I may not always know why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, but I'm meant to take my time feeling them, and I'm meant to take my time with decisions. So it's just been insanely helpful. Now, when you get your blueprint, you're also going to receive 2 bonus videos from Krista and I. These are like video diaries. We dive into our chart in a way that we haven't before, sharing like exclusive things we're doing right now, leaning into in this period in our life related to dating, marriage, motherhood, entrepreneurship, and so much more. And I just can't wait for you to receive this. So your blueprint, you're going to receive the 2 bonus videos all on your human design. And again, human design, it's weaving together the zodiac, Eastern philosophy, and complex NASA planetary data. It is wildly accurate. So go to humandesignblueprint.com/almost30. You're going to use the code almost30 for 10% off right now.
What's like the, just when you were talking about your singing and your sister, like what does it feel like? How does it connect to like your spirituality? Like I just, sometimes I feel like with any creativity, whether it's photography, whether it's singing, like it almost is like a channeling of sorts. Mm-hmm. Like what has that experience been like?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that for me is a super kind of out of body experience. Like when we first started playing, I was actually super shy. when I played with my sister, she was like the show woman, like up there talking, making jokes. I was like in the back, just like moody, playing guitar, like singing. I don't even know. And then it
took... You always need a moody girl.
Honestly, you need a moody girl. But then I was like, okay, I got to step it up here. But like, I remember the first time I was on stage and I let... It was, you know, just me and my brothers. And I really thought, okay, I'm going to like perform. And I... have never in my life, and I don't think I ever will, have an adrenaline rush like that.
Yeah.
That feels like it's just a release and something that like you can only tap into in that experience. And like being able to look and like connect with so many people in this one instant, like while you're on stage, that is something that is like, it changes you. It honestly does. And it sticks with you. And like, I listen to music now. I hear somebody sing that's good and I just like start to cry. Same. I'm like, get it together. Same. But like, I can't help it. I don't know what it is.
There is something to like the vibration of someone's voice. And it does, not everyone does that to me, but I do think there is like a channeling of sorts of energy, a vibration that that music is able to carry. But
I mean, and I think that's what's super cool about Sophie's Place. It's, you know, all these kids can go into this room and they can write and record music, which is something that if you haven't ever tried it, you might not be good at it, but who cares? Just do it. It's actually like really interesting to see what comes out of you. And then, you know, you can also just like learn to sing or have people sing to you. Like kids learn to walk again and to talk again through music. And it's just, I think, you know, we're finally really getting more science behind all of that, which is so cool. But I think like that's going to be such a huge industry in the next while, because I've just seen myself so many people change through the music. So I'm like super lucky to be a part of it.
Wow. That list of 100 things before she dies is crazy.
I know.
That is so powerful. For your family, what have been some of the powerful experiences that you've done since from that list?
I mean, last Christmas, my dad gave us all envelopes with a lot of money, but we each had $500 and we walked around downtown Christmas Day and gave people $100 bills, which was like amazing.
Yeah.
Another one was to go in a hot air balloon. And so one morning on the anniversary of her death, we all got together and went up through the mountains in this hot air balloon, which was just like, you know, when you're doing something in honor of somebody that she really was, I mean, she affected so many people. After her death, it was like overwhelming how many people came forward to tell us these stories about her that were just like, you didn't even know she was doing all these amazing things, you know? And so I think like to look back and to do something in honor of somebody like that, really just every single day you have a purpose, you know? And I think like it can get really hard, especially in everyone's life, to find a reason every single day to do something. But you know, every day is so beautiful. And I personally right now currently am going through really hard things that I find like just unfair. And you know, I'm like, why? I want to be sad, but it's like, you know what? No, there's so much to be happy about. And there's so many people to inspire and to give back to. And I feel like I just really am really trying to find more of my purpose in that, especially, you know, with everything I do in my current business, like with the app and all of these things. Like we really try and make our business for other people. Like how can we make their lives better, make their lives easier? Like what's our, you know, driving purpose? Because otherwise it's just a bunch of stuff and there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
that is what I was so surprised about. I have your presets, like everything.
Oh, thanks,
like the
girl.
Presets. I mean, I rep them all the time. The presets and the app, I was just so surprised. I'm like, she's giving it away. Do you know, like I was like blown away. I'm like, this is a lot. But then it's just, it made more obvious how powerfully creative you are. Cause I'm like, oh, she's giving a lot of it away, which is editing's a lot of what makes photos so beautiful. And then she's going to do this, but then you still had the ability to like up level and continue to up level and stay ahead of the trend. And I was just so surprised by that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Instagram in comparison and like, you know, you're in the game and you've managed to stand out and just be like such a refreshing face in the space. How do you think about that? You know, since your world is Instagram, do you look at other people? Do you not? Do you only do your own thing? Like staying inspired, but not comparing? What is that like for you?
I mean, I think this is an interesting topic and it's hard to get like real with it for me, because to be honest with you, like my core love about it is the creative part. And I learned from a young age, like, that being a creative person, if you give and like share your knowledge, like, you grow more as a creative. And that, like, so I've stuck to that from day one. And I think that's why from the get-go, I was like, I'm going to share how I did this. This is what I shot on. This is how I used to edit, blah, blah, blah. And like, from the second I did that, that's when I started to grow, and not just like in numbers, but just as a person. And I pushed myself so, so hard to keep, like, honestly, like, one-upping myself, right?
I mean, it's insane. Mm.
Thanks, guys.
Like, so I'm like, oh, that, how do legs do that? Literally. I'm like, the poses, I'm like, how?
Thanks, girl. But I think, you know, even I was really fresh into the industry and I wrote a book, and it's like, I didn't even know, I'm not like the expert by any means. I just thought, okay, there isn't a book out there that I need. And so many people would ask me so many questions. I thought, let's just like talk about it. And so everything I do, I really am trying to kind of like make it an open space, because I love seeing somebody be creative that never was before, or didn't think they were, if that makes sense. Like, I, even my husband, he came from a way different background than me, and he is so creative, and I had no idea. And I actually like judged him, like thinking, oh, you know, you're not this at all. But because I came from my very, very artistic background. So I kind of loved that. And I loved, like, when Instagram came out, I remember I was in art school and all my friends were complaining. They're like, everybody now thinks they're a photographer. This is so annoying. And I was like, it's actually awesome. All of a sudden everybody cares. And no one cared before. So, you know, I think that's been the coolest part. But I will say, you know, you put so much out there, right? And when I came along in this industry, no one was really doing what I was doing. It was a lot more like street style, just like basic everything. And I love doing this storytelling thing. So I really stuck to that. And now I'm to a point where I hate talking about this, because I hate talking about myself, and I'm not trying to, but I just kind of feel like my identity got taken away from me. And yes, I kind of gave it up. But yeah, at the same time, it is hard every day. Like, sometimes I feel like I lost my roadmap. I'm like, where am I going? Like, because I don't, if I'm doing the old me, I feel like that seems like I'm copying other people now, because everybody, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I'm like constantly trying to reinvent myself, and that is the hardest part. And I'm trying to also stay true to myself, right? But I think that's also the cool part, right? Of being a creative and pushing yourself to grow and really like adapt and change, because that's part of it. But just continuing my voice and still having it is definitely a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember with us, if, you know, in the podcasting space or something, there was something that happened and my sister was like, or someone kind of copied, you know, what we were doing in a way. My sister was like, well, isn't that the point? You know, you want to get visibility and then people want to do what you're doing. And I'm like, not necessarily, but it's like, you want the visibility, you want people to respect you and love what you do. And with that comes, and with that, I didn't think about that coming. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think about people taking the name, taking the, you know, the concept, the idea and everything like that. And I was like, oh, I guess that's what happens when I'm trying to do something that impacts a lot of people on a big level. But for you, I mean, I saw it, you know, in the industry, just what you were doing, and then the alignment of like people picking up to like your type of filtering, your type of, you know, just the way that you shot. And I think about you, because that would be hard to do that. That would be hard to manage, to be like a leader and a visionary in the space and kind of see people doing what you're doing. And you know, it's like, you're flattered, it's exciting, you want people to win, you don't want to be competitive, but also you're like, I work hard for this, and this is my style, and this is who I am. And there's just so many thoughts and emotions that come with it that I just, you know, I think about you in that way.
Oh, thanks, girl. I feel, but you know, I think we all hear it, like, be authentic. Like, that's, if somebody's starting out and you're like, what's the advice? You know, so that's when it gets hard, when you're like, well, what is the authentic me anymore? I feel like it's kind of like lost in this thing that I created, which I'm so glad. Like, I honestly couldn't be more happy. If I just quit this job today and looked back, I'd be like so happy with how it all went. Like, I wouldn't change a thing. But, you know, I think it's also good because it's just a challenge, right? I mean, I think that's part of a creative job. If you talk to anybody that started a successful business, like, there have been other businesses that try and do the same thing, because it's a proven thing. And so that's cool. And I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to, you know, So I'm here for it. Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting too, because like, you know, whether it's copying or whatever it is, people jumping on kind of like a creative trend train or whatever. It's like, I think the point that kind of like makes your heart ache, or at least like mine when I think about it, is like they're missing the process that either you right. went through, we went through, whatever, where it's like the most important part of getting to that thing or producing that thing. And it almost makes that thing unique. So right. you risk just being lost in everything. That's why you're so successful, because you've been so in and present to your process. So yeah, I think about that a lot with, you know, people who just want to like skip all these steps and get mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. which is okay, I think sometimes, but it's just, you're robbing yourself of those little moments that like really like turn your engine on and like get you ahead in a way that is for the long game.
Right.
You know?
No, I totally agree with you on that. And I think like that is such an interesting point, because the long game is such a non-discussed topic right now. Mm. Everyone's just like quick, like trying yes. to, you know, I don't know. Like I'm really actually zooming out. And right now I'm trying to focus on like, what is the long game? Like, what can I do? And really what, you know, we're consuming so much all of the time. And how do you make something that lasts longer than just a scroll on Instagram? You know, so that's really something I'm focusing on and really trying to think about. And, you know, if I do talk to somebody that's starting out and asking me for advice, I really do say like, you know, what do you care most about? And like, how can you bring that to life? I think like there is room for everybody. I don't think it's like oversaturated. I think there's so many ways you can use Instagram or like, you know, online blogging and all the YouTube, whatever it is, all these mediums to your advantage. I think it's such a cool space that we live in now, and it didn't exist before. And I think, you know, everyone can have a space, but it's really just standing out and having, and if it's real enough, like something you can mm-hmm. talk about forever. That's, I guess that's what I'm trying to yes. get to. It's like, can you talk about that for 10, 20 years, whatever it is? Cause that you're going to have to,
yeah,
if you want to, you know, exist long enough in this.
I'd love to know what your process looks like in terms of collaboration with your team, your husband. You know, where do you find time to be and just kind of let ideas come, and when is it action time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we go through, you know, kind of waves of mm. different, because sometimes, you know, currently we've been creating so much so fast where it's so stressful. I can't even like take the time to stop and think about if I love it or not.
Yeah, I'm nodding.
You know, it's like sometimes you're just like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm not even thinking.
It's like
I'm
a
just
monster.
Like going like, through the motions.
You're like, send it to the print.
Bye. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I was thinking about that in your Paris trip. I was like, damn, it is getting faster and faster.
Oh, it was too fast. And so like, now I'm like, okay, I need to take a break, which I, you know, actually we used to shoot every single day when we first started. And that was like my prime. So I look back at that and I'm like, what? Like if someone told me I had to do that now, I mean, yes, I do that during like fashion week and all these things, but I was creating like meaningful posts, like something I thought was like amazing every single day. Now, sometimes I'm like, screw it, stay on the corner. I don't time mm-hmm. but I am, you know, trying to work on other things mm-hmm. other than just that. So I don't feel guilty. I used to feel like I was letting myself down, you know, but I think creatively, my husband's a huge, like we bounce so many ideas off of each other, and we didn't work well together at first, immediately, I would say. Partly because I was like this creative teacher and I felt like I went to school for this and I knew everything. He knew nothing and I wasn't letting him learn. I was just kind of like, no, this is how I want it. This is how you do it. And so he wasn't becoming a creative. He was just doing it what I said. Thank you, Cole. I know.
You the best. Sweet, Cole.
No, he's the sweetest. But so really what I remember learning, like, okay, whoa, I have to let you be on this journey too. And that's when we kind of started to find this really cool dynamic. And that's when our photos really started to go to the next level, because we would just push each other and we'd be like, that's cool, but is it cool enough? Like every single photo. And that's really when, you know, we started to turn it up a notch. And I think like, if you can find a creative partner that you can really work well with, that's huge. And I wasn't yeah. willing to give it up, to be honest, like, because I had put so much work into it. I was like, no, like, this is my thing. But then the second I like let other people in, that was like a really big shift for me. And we did everything ourselves for so long. We finally like have now hired other people. And I really do think there's like power in like admitting that you can't do it all alone, you know, because I think it's really fun to do it, but it's also your mental health is a huge thing. And I was not healthy. I slept maybe 3 hours a night when we first moved here for 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
And I would be stressed all the time. And I was like, you know, not myself, but my husband was like, this isn't going to happen anymore. Like, we're going to bed. We're turning off. Like, we have to do these things in order to be able to do it again the next day. And I have stuck to that. I've learned so much from that. I like, am really trying to focus more on like self-care because I just produce so much better when I'm in that state. And I think like my mom, love her, but man, she does not stop. Like, she is a workaholic and she is so good at what she does. And like, she doesn't sleep. I learned it from her.
Yeah.
But I really, you know, hope that she can learn that because I just don't think it's healthy and there's no need.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you got to take care of yourself, you know?
I actually did want to talk about that, your self-care, like what you're doing now. How do you take care of yourself? Is it meditation practices? Do you take time off? Like, what is your self-care?
You know, I am still working on this process, but I definitely like work out every single day. That's my
jam.
What
do you do for workout?
I do just like HIIT workouts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like just around cardio. New York?
I go to the gym.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Sometimes like HIIT a class, but I can't be like too specific about time because I'm always like running around. But so we do a lot of that. And my husband works out with me. Like, we are literally together 24/7.
I mean, Cole is fine.
I mean,
he is the cutest. Sometimes I'll show Justin, my boyfriend, like his like outfits. I'm like, this is fresh, huh? He's like, yeah, that's dope. I'm like, let's get it. Cole's got dope ass style too.
You're like, it's in my heart.
Right? Yeah, literally. I'd like get to know it on Cole.
No, honestly, they're always like asking me, girls are always asking me for Cole's outfits.
I'm Cole's like, clothes are so fresh.
Cole, you hear that? Start. Get going, boy. Get posting. No, but I think that's like also a challenge, right? Spending 24/7 with somebody, like we actually don't spend a lot of time apart, which we don't necessarily need, but at the same time, I think it's good. But we do enjoy, I mean, we literally love what we do. And so talking about business and doing all these things is like fun. And we love coming up with ideas. It's not like always work to do. Sometimes it feels like, you know, we're building this little baby from the ground up. So, you know, we actually, that's a ton of fun for us. But he does, you know, he actually does a lot of meditation and he does a lot of that kind of thing. I still need to do a lot of that. But I actually play, like, if I'm just having a day, I play a lot of music. Just like play my guitar, sing. It's like such a release for me. It really is. And I think that's like a huge thing. I don't know what else I do. Hang out with my friends, my family. Guys, what do I do? Help. I need a little self-care.
Literally, people
tips.
Ask me that. They're like, what do you do? I'm like, what?
What's my name?
I'm like, I'm here right now. Literally, yeah. I'm like, I'm here right now. What more do you want from me?
That question of like, what is that thing that people, what are your hobbies or what do you do when you're not working?
I'm like, what?
It's not that we're always working. We are working most of the time, just like you, but it's like when we're not, it's just really nice to be.
No, honestly, it's so nice to be. Like, okay, this is LOL, but last Christmas, we got like a Nintendo Switch or whatever. Okay, I've never been a gamer.
Fun.
This is
fun.
Hold up, I'm in.
Okay? Your family sounds like the best.
Okay, Mario Kart's fun, but I'm all about the Super Smash Brothers.
Oh.
Like, I'm good, actually. And my husband's this big gamer, and I'm like, actually can beat him. So I don't know what happened, but I think it's like a weird release. I'm like, this is so, I feel like a little kid.
100%.
And I think that's why I love it.
Well, that completely I understand a lot of boy stuff, I really understand, because that completely takes you out of what you're doing.
Right.
Like, with a lot of our activities, it's like brunch with friends. It's like, you're kind of still in it.
Right.
You're maybe talking about work. You're maybe kind of working. A lot of stuff I do is a little, it's adjacent to my life, but that kind of thing is like, you're on like an island playing Bowser. You know, you can't like be doing what you're doing because you're so in it with that. And like sports and stuff too.
Right.
You're so in it. It's like that one thing that you know, are doing. Yeah. I wanted to ask, as far as like being a creative, what was your business acumen like how did you figure out how to make this such a sustainable business? Because that's something that you've done really well. There's a lot of people that have a lot of followers, you know, and do the creative thing, do influencing, but you've really managed to have these areas and pillars of your business that are sustainable and that really, really differentiate you.
Well, thank you. But yeah, I think so. It's an interesting question because I never set out to do this as a job. So that's one part of that. Like, I think I was always going to build my own business, right? I already had, I guess, a photography business, and I was already always like designing things and working on that part of me. So when we moved here, I always was like telling my best friend, who's like a lawyer and has nothing to do with this type of world. I was like, I want to like be a blogger, but I don't really get it. And I blogged forever. So I did it, but I didn't know how to make money off of it, right? And so I saw this like potential, but I didn't really understand. And then when I moved to New York, I was like, oh, I don't know. I talked to a couple people and I was like, okay, finally it's starting to make sense to me. So I started to make money off that. And I was like, this is cool. Like that was just like kind of a side thing for me. I remember like when we talked about making the collage kit, which was our first actual product, I had no idea how to like sell a product or any of those things. And we made, oh my gosh, so many mistakes. We actually did it all out of our apartment and we would have to take to the mail like 150 boxes at a time. And it was like super heavy. It was, and the mail hated us.
You know, like people wanted this? Oh,
yeah. You're like, shoot. We were like, what have we done? Uh-huh. Like it became, oh, my cousins would come over. We'd do like a whole deal. They were a big part of the process. But, you know, I just kind of like learned a lot from even just the beginning of that. And I would say like, if you want to start a product, like just go for it, try it out. You can learn so much like really quick, but there's so many, I mean, there's like Shopify out there and so many things that make it easy for new people. So I learned a lot, but I kind of think like, you know, we've kind of evolved and tried different things. I'm still learning a ton. I think like my big future plan is to have a brand that's like lives longer than me. You know what I mean? And so I'm always looking for ways to do that. And luckily I have Cole, who's also very in that headspace. And I think that's a really good balance that we have to be able to build those products together. But it is hard. I would say like, you know, you think you know so much, but you don't. You really don't. And like with the app, for example, that was kind of born because we had done the presets and we were, you know, we're helping all these people and we loved it. But there were so many people that were upset that you couldn't do it on your phone. And my husband, Cole, is a developer and he was like, let's try building this app. And I was like, okay. And that took us like for sure over a year to build. And we gave up many times. It was very difficult. We didn't know anything about how to, anyway, there's all this technical crap that I'm like, I'm not even gonna try and tell you what it is. But yeah, that was just kind of like such a learning process and still like, but that's become such a cool thing because that really was combining both of our passions. And I think we're like so in love with doing it and have so many ideas for the future of it. So
Justin's a developer too.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. We should have a little double date. I know.
Developer double dates. Yeah, we like. It is funny off though, at the beginning, you know, with developer, just with Justin quickly, it's like, I didn't think that was a creative thing. And then when you really understand I mean, I'm sure Cole would say the same. Yep. When you really understand coding and development, it's very creative.
It's the most creative thing ever because you could do it a million ways and it's like you're creating something out of nothing. Uh-huh. And that's where I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so rude. Uh-huh. I'm like, you're not creative. Sorry.
Yeah, you're like painting over here. You're like, you're not creative.
Prove it. You know, gosh.
You're like playing music.
Gosh, yeah. I'm like, God, so rude.
What is one misconception about influencers and the influencing space? Like, what's a misconception you think people have?
Gosh, there are so many, but I think, you know, maybe just like how much you actually have to do. I don't think like, I think what you see is so fun and so just like, you know, posting pictures every day, whoop-de-doo. But it's not even just that. And it's like, sure, there's so much creativity and like pushing yourself to do that every day is so extremely hard. And if anyone thinks it's easy, please go try it and let me know because you should take over. But I think the biggest thing is just like how much of a business you have to run. You have to read contracts. You have to go back and forth with brands. Like you're a creative agency. You're like doing advertising. You're engaging with a community. You know, it is just like endless. The list is endless. And I think, and the fact that, you know, when people get upset that influencers are starting brands, I'm like, well, who's to say they wouldn't have done that regardless? But also, I just think that's so interesting because it's like you should be celebrating that. You know, where I think that's why I love Instagram. I think you can meet some of my very, very best friends I met off Instagram. They lived in like different parts of the world and we're best friends now. And I think you can connect with so many people so fast. And that's what's really cool. And we should be celebrating that rather than looking down on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what people might also assume is that like, we're like, they think brands come in and they're like, here's money. And you're like, great, awesome, I'll take it. I kind of want to give like a behind the scenes of how you choose partners and collaborations, because there is so much thought and there are values and all of that. So I'd love to know yours.
Yeah, I think like, so I learned that lesson pretty early on because, you know, when you first see a brand and they say, we want to pay you to do this, you're like, okay, great, done. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not even thinking when you first get into it, that's like all you're like, sweet.
You're like $300.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
I would love that. Let me talk about this ice cream. I don't even, you know, it's like, what am I doing? Totally. I don't even, yeah, I do love ice cream, but yes. Hold up. Yeah, no. But I think, you know, for me, the process is very, we talk like, is this something we authentically actually like? And some, if it's like a beauty product, we have to use it for like a month before. That's something we always kind of stick to. And then, you know, we make sure I'm aligned with the brand creatively, because I remember when I first started, a lot of brands would be like, well, that's not going to fit our aesthetic. And so I'm like, well, why would you hire? I'm creating content for me and my community, not just for you. And like, there is a balance there, right? But like I learned, you know, I don't necessarily go to every event and post a photo on an event because there's not enough like creative process in that for me. And that wouldn't be, my followers would be bugged. They'd be like, what is this? You know, so I really try and stick true to that. And then also just, you know, what does the brand stand for? I mean, even during Fashion Week, there were several brands I did not attend or did not go to certain things because I just didn't agree with, you know, decisions they make as a brand. And I think that's such a, you know, we're so quick to be called out these days. I think it's really hard to talk about things you care about.
Yeah.
And even if you are doing something wrong and you want to talk about it because you want to learn, you know, there's not really space for that. And I would love for that to change. I think it will be hard, but I'm trying to also figure out how to be involved in that space. But you know, I just think like when you're working with brands, you're also a brand and it's important to remember that. So staying true to your brand, if it doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah. It's interesting about the speaking out thing. It is, you know, it's a challenging to know when, to know how, to know at what capacity, to know the implications if you do, if you do not. You know, especially with someone, you know, like your platform, I just sympathize with that because we are in that space too. And it's one of the most rewarding things, but it's also very challenging to kind of be, you know, speaking out like that. Last question for me. I wanted to know about a big moment in your career where you're like, wow, I've really arrived. Not like you've arrived, you know, because you never said you never arrived, but what's a moment where you're like, damn, I can't believe I'm here.
That's such a good question. Well, I have one coming up.
Oh, yay. Oh, can you talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This will be out after.
It's next week.
After.
So, I mean, I just think it's so cool. There are brands that I dreamed of like shooting their fashion campaign since I was like a kid, you know? So there are so many like of those little opportunities that have happened that I'm like, hold up. Like I'm literally talking to the CEO of this brand and they're like appreciating what I do. I don't even understand, you know? But somebody that I've always looked up to and that I think is doing so many things for the space is Rebecca Minkoff. And
I love her.
She is just like, oh, she's killing it.
Agreed.
And the first time I met her, she was just like treating me like we were BFF. I'm like, sorry, I'm confused. I was like sweating. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. But she just emailed me about presenting her with an award next week and like being her date to this really amazing event. And I'm like, I was literally like shaking when I got the email. I'm like, what? And she's just like, so cash. I'm like, okay. But like to be like, you know, and she respects like so many women and is doing so much for women in the space. And I just like, I'm kind of just amazed that I'm even talking to her, you know what I mean? And so I would say that to somebody that is just getting started or, you know, it's not that far away. Something you want to do or somebody you want to talk to, like, that's why Instagram's amazing. I mean, I DM people back every day. So many people. And people ask me some really hard questions. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I need a second. This is like a big, real question. Yeah. You know, but like, we're willing to talk and like answer and like kind of support. And like, so many people did that for me. And so I really want to do that for other people. But yeah, I'm excited.
That's amazing.
So stay tuned, guys.
We're going to come up with a little speech.
I know.
I'm nervous.
Oh, what's the award?
Are you presenting?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And her guest and presenting.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a script or are you just going to like...
Well, I mean, I got
We're here to stress you out.
So let's talk about it. How ready are you? You guys are funny. Yeah, not ready at all.
We'll be like the clowns on the side. Like,
she's gone.
Sometimes we ask like what's in the future, and I actually don't love that question, but I'd love to know like what you're really proud of right now. It doesn't have to be career necessarily. It can be, but just what you're really proud of right now.
You know, I recently heard somebody speak and they said something that just hit me so hard. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm taking that thought and putting it in my soul because this is what I needed. This girl, she got up on stage and she was like screaming into a mic, and she was like, you guys, like my young child self would be freaking out if she knew I was doing this right now. And I was like, same though. Like, you know what I mean? Yo. And that was like, whoa, yeah. Like all you look, I don't think we take enough time to even just like appreciate the little things, but it's like, oh my gosh, I live in New York. I figured it out. I like had no money when I moved here. I'm like, I can afford my rent, you know, like that honestly alone.
Yeah.
But just like, wow, I really am proud of myself for, you know, going after what I want. And like, yes, I'm still figuring it out, but you know what? I'm proud of how far I've come. I think it's like, I'm always afraid to say that because I feel like I'm not cocky. I don't know the word, you know, I just hate that, but I really am. And I'm like trying to be just own that more because I think it's like good for yourself to hear that.
You deserve it. You know? Yeah. I think a lot, you know, as women, we're just like, oh,
I know. I want to change that. You know what I mean? And it's like you saying that you're proud of yourself doesn't mean anything about anyone else.
It also gives me, I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Like,
and it gives me confidence.
Isn't that the goal of life to be, make yourself proud?
Yeah.
Like I'm proud of myself. It's like, I hope people are proud of themselves.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you've never not been proud of yourself.
No.
Definitely.
No.
But it's like, it's okay for you to be proud of who you are and what you're doing.
Totally.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
You want to work every day to do that.
And don't you feel like when you hear somebody else say it, you're like,
of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
totally.
Totally.
And like, that's kind of like, you know, that's a huge deal. Even today, crossing the street and this crossing guard was the nicest ray of sunshine. And I was like, holy crap, I'm going to go just... I don't even know what. Smile and give someone a pat on the back.
That's what you said
today. It changed my day.
You were like, should we point at everyone and smile?
Yeah. I was like, hey, have a great... Because we were walking through like the Oculus and everyone's like looking down and like in their suits.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't it be fun if we were just like, hey, man, have a great day.
Yeah.
Hey, you. Go get them.
I love it.
Looking
Buy
good, buddy.
Stock. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, that is being... When I was in New York, I was like, man, I love this place. Everyone's like doing their own shit. They're in their own world, blah, blah. But it is funny being back from LA because... We're like, people
in LA,
are,
we're like,
yeah,
hello.
Honestly. Yeah, we keep, we're like, hi.
I'm like, I dreamed about you last night.
What's an Americano? And he's like, it's a coffee.
Yeah, literally.
I'm like, isn't this a coffee shop? Can I ask you a question about coffee?
No.
Like,
no time for that.
No time for
it. No time.
I was like, okay, I'll just get whatever. But it is, there's like an air. They're like, this girl's very... Not smart.
Like, yeah. No, they don't know.
God.
They don't know who they're talking to.
Thank you for being so open. Yeah.
Oh my God. And I like tears from talking.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think that, you know, your process and your ability to like live and like live with her memory always just kind of with you, and same with your family, is just such a... It sounds so obvious, but it's a beautiful thing because I think the grieving process for a lot of people too, it kind of stops at a certain point in the grieving process. And that's not to say that it was not hard and all that. It's more just like being able to move through it, knowing that one, you have your family, and just like living with that memory and being able to always feel that when you're doing something that you love and that's exciting and all of that. So I know that it'll help a lot of people hearing that. So thank you.
Well, my mom said something interesting to me on the phone yesterday, which I just think I should share because when you do go through something like that, you know, even after it's been as many years as it is, like you obviously are still feeling it. But somebody asked my mom, you know, how do you choose to carry on? And she said, I just decided my New Year's resolution was to choose joy every single day. And, or to like find more joy. And honestly, if you're seeking that, it really is such a game changer, because it's easy to just, you know, wallow and get in your own emotions. But like, my sister would want me to do that, and she was doing that. And so like, I think celebrating something that is so hard is really good. And I think like, if you can just even just try, doesn't mean you're doing it every day, but just trying, you know?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Thanks for being here.
Where can our lovely community connect with you?
Oh my gosh, guys, hit me up at Tezza on Instagram. You can shop my stuff on www.shoptezza.com. What else? I'm like, what's my middle name?
I know. I'm like, let me tell everyone. Tezza app.
Let's bring Chloe in here.
Yeah. Tezza filters. No more collages.
Oh, yeah. We got collages.
Collages still. Insta style.
Insta styles on Amazon. Yep. Everything I've ever known is in there, guys. Mm-hmm. Promise. I didn't hold back. What else? Yeah, just stay tuned. We got more coming. Yeah.
Perfect. I can't wait.
Thanks, guys.
So thank inspiring. You. All right, we love you. Right, thanks for listening.
We love you.
Queen Tezza, thank you so much.
New friend. I will find you again.
I will stalk you again. Oh, no. I really adore her. I was very energized by our conversation. And she's just like, I don't know.
Dude, I just love that. When people are doing the thing and they just have a huge following and they fucking deserve it over 100.
And a huge heart like her. You feel it.
Feel it.
I was like, I didn't want to believe it, but you have the biggest heart ever.
Also, too, it's funny, like with her, she was dressed like one of her Instagrams. Oh, people would see my Instagram and then I come and I'm dressed like trash.
Yeah, we're always like shocking people in the opposite way.
And keep people on their toes. But she just over-delivers.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. Love her so much. You can learn more about Tezza by Tezza, TEZZA.com. And then the Tezza app, I mean, for life. Chloe on our team for is obsessed. I have it now and I'm exploring a new world, which is just incredible.
Honestly.
She puts out a lot of free content for you to just learn more about like how to navigate this space of Instagram, creating all the things and just living and being a human in the world. So we love you and thank you. And we'd love to share a review of the week. It always means so much to us when you write a review for Almost 30 Podcast. And we just want to kind of shout you out, give you some love. So this is from Bran. 5 stars, the best podcast ever. Thank you. My God. I've been listening to the Almost 30 Podcast for a couple years now, since close to the beginning, I think. I love the authenticity and love that Krista and Lindsay have. They are living their best life and helping me to do so too. They keep it real, which always reminds me to remember to be myself and feel less alone as a 30-year-old woman in this crazy world. I am so grateful for this community they have created, and I love that I can always rely on a fun conversation or some real talk about the stuff we aren't hearing about in everyday conversations. Keep up your hard work, girls. It doesn't go unnoticed. Thank you, Bran.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Just taking a few moments to write a review on Apple Podcasts means a lot to us. So we really appreciate it. Anytime you DM us or do anything like that, we share it with the team and we all take a collective breath of gratitude for every single one of you for always showing up and for being the kindest community out there.
Yeah.
Just quickly too. So we are working really hard on your Podcast Pro. So we are going to have the digital courses available in January. And Lindsay and I have been working very hard with our team and with Teachable to get everything up and running and really beautiful and just perfect. It's going to be insane. It's going to be so good for you guys. So if you have a podcast, we help you grow and monetize. If you're interested in starting, we help you start. We walk you through the process in a really, you know, fun, beautiful way. And we're really looking forward to relaunching our courses this January.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Yourpodcastpro.com if you want to get information. And yeah.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting us and one another. We feel it and we do this for you. So we will see you on the road, almost30podcast.com/tour. Can't wait to see you. And we hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll see you later.
We love you. Goodbye.